Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by The Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Murdoch, and it is a pleasure to speak with you this Lord's Day on the radio. I'm a member of the Church of Christ that meets in Wasilla. This morning's radio program will be on unity, and the scriptures are read out of the New King James Version. Unity is something that we desperately need and seem to be starving for. Unity is important in our social lives, work lives, school lives, and family lives. I mean, the very nation in which we live in was founded on the idea of being united. Without being unified, the only other option is to be divided. Certainly, as we look around, it is not hard to see the crippling consequences of a nation that is divided. What is even more disheartening is many couldn't care less about the division caused by man-made religion. This devastating sin of disunity is not only because we as a nation have lost our way, but we have ultimately lost our respect for the Almighty God and His soul-saving Word. Sadly, some will say that what we are seeing today is a culmination of 4 years or 12 years of hostility. But in reality, this lack of unity has been an issue for a long time. Listen to what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. We read, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." The thought that is being presented here by the writer James is that if we continue to be hard-hearted and selfishly prideful, we will be unable to overcome the division which causes us so much pain. But if we are willing to humble ourselves, to purify our hearts, we can begin to heal as a nation and as a people. We as a nation have forgotten who we are and whose we are. We must realize that everyone will stand before God on judgment and give an account for what they have done. Unity and the unifying power of God's holy word is the only way this nation can find the redeeming pathway that leads back to peace and tranquility that we so desperately need. This unity will not be found in some man, politician, or family member, but only through obedience to God's holy word. I would like us this morning to carefully and thoughtfully consider a very important and serious question. How can we in Wasilla drive down Bogard and see building after building that says to worship the God of the Bible, and yet in these same buildings have contradictory teachings, and we think that pleasing to God? Think about this for a moment. You have several groups that teach mechanical instruments are just another way to worship God, or they think that maybe it's a better way to worship God. Yet nowhere in the New Testament scripture does God authorize that form of worship. We do, however, read in Ephesians chapter 5, 17 through 21. The scripture says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of God. And we can also see singing found in Colossians chapter 3, 16 through 17. A similar thought is made. We read, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You see, both of these letters are written by Paul to Christians, and he tells us that we are to sing. Do you think Paul knew about instruments? Or do you think Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could have authorized instrumental music for worship? Of course he could have, but he didn't. Why? Well, that is because there has never been, nor will there ever be, a more beautiful sound to the Lord than the sound that he himself has created, and that is the voice box. Surely God could have asked for instrumental music in worship to him, yet he didn't. So since we submit to God's will and not our own, we follow his authority. You also have another group that will teach contrary to what the Bible has to say about baptism. They would have you believe that all baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. And yet nowhere does God's word teach such a thing. We read the clear instructions given by Christ himself after his death, burial, and resurrection. And this is found in Mark. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. We read, "Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" Clearly, these verses show that connected to salvation is baptism. Belief and baptism are not exclusive, meaning you cannot have one without the other. They are to work together, and both are necessary in order to be saved. That is what Christ plainly commands. You also have another religious group that will teach infants are born lost and need to be saved. How sad a false doctrine to teach that children who are innocent would need to do something that is impossible. Christ tells us that there are requirements to be disciple of his. We can read this in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Jesus says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" A curious question to think about is, can an infant believe? Can an infant understand things pertaining to eternal life or even Christ? Can an infant make disciples as Christ commanded? It is silly to even think about. And yet some in the religious world twist the word of God to their own destruction. I'd like to consider this passage when someone is trying to seek answers from men instead of the answers that God has simply instructed us through his word. Think of this passage found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. God's redeeming plan for saving man has not been preserved for us so that we could do what we please with it, or to try and make it fit our needs. But instead, it has been preserved for us as a lifeline, in order to save our souls from an eternal pathway that leads to destruction. You see, if we go beyond the scriptures, we go then beyond what God has authorized. And Jesus had a rebuke for those who thought they themselves knew better than God. In Matthew chapter 15, 7 through 9, Christ has a rebuke. He says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" You see, when we rely on man to direct our path, and that they think they are the only ones who can achieve unity, we will fall miserably short. Listen to what the wisdom of Solomon has to say in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. He says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Can we see the serious problem of trying to find another means for unity than the Word of God? Time and time again, it is painfully clear that a man without direction or guidance is unable to achieve even the simplest of goals. I would like for you to think of a scenario this morning. Parents, imagine driving your child to a place that was unfamiliar to them and dropping them off. Then before you leave, telling them, "Make sure you make it home," and then you proceed to take off. How would that look? Would you be comfortable with them going to any house that kind of looked similar to yours? Or maybe they would just be wandering around, going from door to door, trying to find a house that suited their need. I am sure if any one of us as parents heard a story like this, we would immediately become furious and say to ourselves, "That person should be punished." All the while, that is exactly what we are doing with the Word of God. When we can drive from building to building and think buffet-style religion is pleasing to God. Listen to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed for prior to his crucifixion. In John chapter 17, 20 through 23, here is a beautiful passage of what Christ wanted. We read, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." If you have time this morning, I in all sincerity ask you to pick up your Bibles and read these scriptures very carefully. Examine them with an honest heart. See if where you are heading this morning practices and teaches the things that Christ himself prayed for and ultimately died for. Do you believe that unity is necessary? Christ did. If it's important to Christ, then it must be important for us that they all may be one, Christ says. Do we see that today in the religious world? That is the oneness that Christ prayed for? It does seem quite evident by how much confusion is out there today. We as a nation have drifted away from what previously united us, and that is a respect for the Word of God. From our school systems to our political sphere, and sadly in the home, you see, more children are aware of who the creator of Facebook is, and yet have absolutely no clue who the creator of the world is. In Hosea 4:6, we see a reminder of the issue of lack of knowledge about God. We read in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children." We are truly falling into a way of moral depravity that can only lead to further division and chaos. But I am thankful to God, because while all this may seem a little scary right now, we know that through a faithful obedience and repentance, God can restore the fracture that is in our hearts. There was a place long ago called Nineveh that lived a life rebelliously towards God. They were wicked to the very core. And yet God's grace and mercy was made available to them. Listen to what they did after the preaching of Jonah. This is found in Jonah 3:10. We read, "Then God saw their work, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Isn't it wonderful and awesome to know that God is willing to forgive those who once walk in rebellion against him? Isn't it such a great blessing to think about the Almighty Creator, who not only created the world in which we live, but the entire universe, that he looks upon his creation and has compassion on them? Why would we then walk in such disunity? Over and over throughout Scripture, God reminds us of his love for us. That love is what must bind us back together to him, not to man, not to our own thoughts or feelings, but instead to rely completely and solely upon his word. In Isaiah 55:6-9, we read this: "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It can be difficult to heal the wounds of our past, but please think about the future. Where are you going to spend your eternity? It is said the hardest part of physical rehabilitation is not the 0 to 90% range of motion, but the final 10%. But friends, it is still true that without that extra 10%, you will never have 100% of motion. This is also true with wanting complete unity with God. 90% doesn't cut it. God wants 100%. And we must be willing to look to the Bible for guidance, to see if what we are doing is in accordance with his word. Unity is possible. If it were not, then God would be telling us to do that which we cannot do. And certainly none of us believe that. Look at what Christ says in Matthew 11:28-30. He says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But we must first understand that in order to have this rest, this peace, this unity, we must have Christ. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, 1 Corinthians 14:33. So that means wherever there is confusion, it is because of man and not God. God commands unity. So where there is division, it is on man's part, not God's. God's desire is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. There is a way to achieve that which God asks of us, and that is found in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. We read, Paul writing, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, this is the church, and one Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, that hope is of heaven. One Lord, that is Jesus Christ. One faith, that is what is found in Scripture. One baptism, that is to be buried in the watery grave. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. If there are any questions in regards to this morning's radio program, please do not hesitate to call and ask. My name again is Joe Murdoch, and my phone number is 907-715-0089. Or please feel free to call our evangelist, Brother Bill Beebe, whose phone number is 907-841-9261. We in the Church of Christ are available and willing to study with anyone who has questions. Our concerns is with men's souls and not opinions. We would love nothing more than to reason together through the Word of God, which is able to save our souls.
Yeah.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.